Well, would you turn with me then to John chapter 10? John chapter 10 this evening. Taking a slight break from our regular study of major questions to consider this portion of Scripture, the Lord, believe, having led me to this rather than our normal series for tonight. We'll pick it back up again, God willing, next week, but believe this is the word that the Lord has for us tonight. So we'll begin reading from John 10, verse 22 of this portion of God's Word. Let us hear the Word of the Lord. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Amen. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Trust the Lord to bless His word to our hearts. Would you just bow with me briefly again and ask for His help? Oh Lord, our God, Lord, we come having read such comforting words of Thy great and precious book. We're thankful, O Lord, that they are infallible words. We're thankful, O Lord, that as we come to them, we come assured that they are true in every jot and tittle. But Lord, we need Thy help to rightly meditate on them tonight. I need Thy help to rightly preach them tonight. And so, Lord, we come and ask that You would pour out Thy Spirit upon us, that You would fill me with power to preach Christ, that You would fill us all with power to hear Christ preached, and Lord, that we would be affected by Thy message, that our souls would be comforted, and that we would be, as it were, revived in our hearts. O Lord, help us, we pray. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, and give us all help to hear from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we come to these words of Scripture, we're really focusing on verse 28 through 30. And Jesus has hardly spoken more comforting words for the Christian soul than the words we find here. The fact that He gives unto His people eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. And the same He says of the Father. These are most comforting words for our souls tonight if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And as we come to them, we are really coming here to consider primarily this idea of being in Christ's hand or in the Father's hand. That is something that is very striking as you read these verses. And even as you go through the Scriptures, you find so many references to God's hand, what His hands have done, and what He is going to do with His hands, and how He has saved His people with His hands, how He keeps His people with His hands. And so as we come to these verses, the question that we ought to ask, though they're comforting in and of themselves, we ought to ask, what does it mean to be in God's hand? What are all the details to be thought of regarding being in His hand? We have several given to us here, but even beyond that, what does it mean to be in His hand? That's a very important thing to consider, because there are various times where we don't always feel that we are in His hands. Sometimes our faith, it weakens, it lessens. We can begin to doubt whether we are truly always in His hands. And so as we come to this tonight, I trust the Lord will give us help to consider always being in God's hand. Always being in God's hand. And so we'll consider other scriptures tonight in more of a topical fashion, but I want us to begin here with this as our foundation for always being in God's hand. And the first thing I want us to note then is that Christians are in God's hand. Amen. Christians are in God's hand. Very simply seen from the text and what Christ has said here, verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Christians are in God's hand. But how did we get there? How are we kept there? These are questions that should come to our mind as we come to think about the fact that Christians are in God's hand. Christ has made an absolute statement here. There's no window of exit for the Christian. When we are in God's hand, we're always in His hand. But what we need to consider is how we got there. The first thing to note then, as we think about this, is that the Father put us in Christ's hand. The Father put us in Christ's hand. That's how we got there. You didn't get there. I didn't get there through any merit of our own. Before the foundation of the world, God looked upon poor, wretched sinners and chose a portion of them to be in Christ's hand.
Amen.
That's what Christ says, doesn't He? Verse 29, "My Father, which gave them Me."
Amen.
He says the same thing, you know, in chapter 17 in His high priestly prayer regarding those whom the Father had given Him. So the Father put us in Christ's hand.
Amen.
But the thing to note there, the Father committed us to Christ as sinners that He might hold us in His hand as children. He gave us to Christ in covenant when we were sinners. When God looked upon us in our fallen estate, completely devoid of any sort of merit in ourselves, and He chose us as sinners and put us in Christ's hands that He might make us His children.
Amen.
Remember Galatians 4:6, the verse preceding it. Christ redeemed us in order that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Amen.
That was the whole point of them being put in Christ's hand, "My Father, which gave them Me." The Father, the entire time in the plan of redemption, has this in mind. I'm going to take these poor and wretched sinners and I'm going to make them joint heirs.
Amen.
With Christ. I'm going to make them My children, not merely creatures. And so He committed us to Christ as sinners that we might be held in His hand as children.
Amen.
But we also need to know that the Father which gave them Me, when you think about the Father giving us to Christ before the foundation of the world, His commitment, that is the Father's commitment, to make us children was a commitment to crucify Christ.
Amen.
When the Father looked on us in our sin and desired to make us children, that required a decision to send Christ to the cross. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Would you just pause and think about that? That the Father esteemed you so valuable to Him for reasons we may never know. It certainly wasn't for anything in us. But for His glory and for by His grace, He looked at you and saw you, loved you enough in order to send Christ to the cross.
Amen.
The Father put us in Christ's hand. But also, Christ secured us with His hand. When the Father put us in Christ's hand, Christ then secured us by His hand. For He says in verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of My hand." So when the Father committed us to Christ, it was with the certainty that by putting us in Christ's hand, Christ would then secure us with His hands. Christ, by His hands, came and lay hold of His people and brought us out of darkness and into light. The thing to think about there, your hands, my hands, knew nothing but sin. Christ's hands know nothing but righteousness. He never sinned, not once. You remember the text, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He knew no sin. And even as you think about the catechism question we read earlier, you think about the first commandment and the text in Psalm 44. Think of the words that are said there. In Psalm 44, we're told these sobering words. "If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart." Now you think about that. If we stretched out our hands unto a strange God, Christ's hands were never stretched out unto a strange God, but were perfect in every aspect of His life, always only working that which was righteous before God, so that His hands knew nothing but righteousness, even though our hands knew nothing but sin. "For there is not a man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." But also, when Christ secured us with our hands, it's not only because His hands only knew righteousness, but you think about what is going to happen to the Savior, how He is going to give His people eternal life, how He is going to say for eternity that they shall never perish and not be plucked out of His hand. What did He have to endure for that to be the case? He had to endure the cross. And you know that's where He's going. That's where this is all leading to. Your sins, my sins, earned Christ's scars. But His scars earned our salvation. That the hands that laid hold of us had to be pierced for us. And by His hands being pierced and scarred by our sin, He then secured us to be the Father's children. And this is what filled the apostles with joy at the end of this book. In John chapter 20, the Lord has risen from the dead, and He appears to His disciples. And when He appears to them, what does He do? In John 20, verse 20, "And when He had said so," He showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Do you think about that in relation to his hands? What he has said regarding us being in his hands in John 10 verse 28. And what is said regarding the scars that he showed to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Why were they glad when they saw the Lord? Because they looked upon his scars, and in his scars they saw their security for eternity. You think about why the Lord left the scars in Christ's hands. That they didn't disappear when he was raised from the dead, but the scar was left in his side. And the scar was left in his wrists or in his hands. Why is that? It's so that you and I, for eternity, can see our security for our soul, for all the ages, in the scars of Christ.
Amen.
Him having borne our sins in his own body on the tree. And that's where we find our security. In his hands that knew nothing but righteousness. And in his hands where we find the scars that bore our sins. Christians are in God's hands. That's how we're there. It's not just an arbitrary decision that God made to put us in these hands. Redemption had to be brought to pass in order for us to be in these hands. But that is how we're there. And that is why we will never perish, because Christ's work can never be undone. Christians are in God's hand. But I want us to notice secondly, and we'll give the majority of our time to this, that Christians are always in God's hand. Christians are always in God's hand. You think about what it means to be in the hands of the Father, the hands of the Son, the hands of Almighty God. What all does that involve? When you think about hands, well, hands communicate a lot of things. You can look at someone's hands and you can tell what sort of work they do for a living. You can look at someone's hands and you can see strength in hands. Well, then when we look at God's hands, we ought to think about what it means to be in his hands, what all his hands have done. And that will assure us that we are always in his hands. So the first thing to note then, when you think about the hands of God, God's hand has made everything. God's hand has made everything. All things, John 1:3, were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God's hands made everything. Now that's an important truth for us to know. Because if God's hands made everything, then God's hands are in control of everything. The hand that made the seas is in control of all the waves. The hand that created the winds is in control of which way they blow. That's important. Because when the waves are crashing over us and the winds are contrary to us, we need to know that they're God's waves and they're God's winds. Do you remember this realization for the disciples in our Lord's ministry? In Mark 4:41, they say, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" For you remember the picture, they're in this chaotic storm, and yet Jesus is able to say, "Peace, be still." And it's so important to remember that that came before the next storm. because in another chapter, Mark chapter 6, they find themselves in another storm. And they said in chapter 4, the winds and the sea obey him. Well then, when you read this description of the situation they were in Mark 6, that becomes all the more important. What do we read there in Mark 6, 46? And when he had sent them away, for remember the Lord put them in the ship. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. The disciples were in another storm. And they were in a ship that the Lord had put them in. And the waves are raging, and the wind's contrary to them. And the entire time, Christ is in control of it all. At no point are they ever not in His hands. That's the point. God's hand made everything. And so, when you find the winds are contrary to you, and you find yourself toiling and rowing, you need to know that you're still in His hands. God's hands made everything. But also, God's hand is greater than everything. It's not only that He made everything, He is greater than everything. You remember the words of Daniel 4:34? What are we told there? Some of the most glorious words in all the Bible. Daniel 4:35, excuse me. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? God's hand is greater than everything. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Now that's, again, important. You remember the imagery of Psalm 46? The mountains being carried into the midst of the sea. And you remember the point of that psalm? In verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Do we then think that He that carries the mountains into the midst of the sea is not able to carry our souls into eternity? Do we think that the hand that framed the lion's mouth is not able to keep us from the lion's mouth? For the devil, we know, roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But the devil's a creature. And though you and I are told to be sober and be vigilant, you know that we fail in that. And what will keep you from the devil's mouth is ultimately the hand of God. Amen. For Christ is like David, who plucks his sheep from the lion and the bear's mouth. And he never suffers his lambs to be devoured. The hand that framed the lion's mouth is able to keep us from the lion's mouth. And the hand that crafted fire is able to keep you from being burned. You remember our brethren, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What was their comfort before King Nebuchadnezzar? Where did they take their stand before this man, when they would refuse to bow unto his image? What were the words that they said on that day, on that occasion? They said to him, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What was their comfort? The hand of the king was not greater than the hand of God. The fiery furnace The fire that was contained in that furnace was created by the God of heaven. And so its very effect upon all other things could be nullified by the hand of God if He so chose to do for them. God's hand is greater than everything. But also, God's hand extends everywhere. God's hand extends everywhere. The words of the psalmist are important here. Psalm 139 and verse 7, he asks the question we considered so many months ago. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I hope you're getting the picture. I hope this brings comfort to your soul that God's hand extends everywhere. And the psalmist could say, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand hold me. In other words, God's reach is greater than your ability to roam. Though we may find ourselves in the darkest places of the earth, though we may find ourselves in the deepest places of trial, even there shall thy hand hold me. You think of what is said in Psalm 95, verse 4. Said of God's hands there, in His hands are the deep places. Now that's talking about the deep places of the earth. And you think about that in relation to the ocean or other places, but in particularly the ocean, for that's the picture there, the seas, as it goes on to explain. There are places that man simply cannot go on this earth. There are places in the ocean that the depths are so great we don't have the ability to get there. And yet God says that in His hand are the deep places. You think of the comfort that brought to the Apostle Paul. What did he say? 2 Corinthians 11:25. I've spent a night and a day in the deep. Shipwreck while I was working for God. Shipwreck, and I spent a night and a day in the deep. Now, of course, that's talking about literal waters that Paul was in. But Paul certainly knew more about deep places than many Christians. He certainly knew more about just the physical deep. He knew about the spiritually deep waters that God called him to go through. And perhaps tonight, in fact, I'm sure you've been in deep places that I have not been. And yet God's hand holds the deep places. Which means that when you're in the deep places, you're still in His hands. God's hand extends everywhere. God's reach is greater than your ability to roam, and God's reach extends beyond eternity. For we're told that He has everlasting arms. And we're told that He upholds us with the everlasting arms. Now, if His arms are everlasting, then so must be His hands. And those are the hands that He holds us in, everlasting hands. So that when we're in His hands, there will never be a time where we will not be in His hands. God's hands extend everywhere. And lastly, God's hand endures everything. It extends everywhere, and it endures everything. Back to our text in John chapter 10. For you note that the word man is in italics. That is really just one application of the words of Christ here. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, any that is beyond man, that is devil, or any other foe that could be imagined, shall not pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and no man or none is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. In other words, whatever you can think of that the Christian could go through, whatever fiery trials, whatever afflictions of the soul, whatever darts, flaming darts of the devil could be hurled at you, none of them will weary God's grip on you.
Amen.
The greatest foe cannot loosen God's grip.
Amen.
And what's even more important, in one sense, for us, is that the weakest faith cannot slip through God's fingers.
Amen.
For it is not your grip on God that keeps you in His hands. It's His grip on you that keeps you in His hands. And so weak faith does not loosen His grip. You cannot slip through His fingers. And the weakest member of Christ's body is still a part of His body. Perhaps I've shared this before, but there was a godly lady asked by her pastor, how do you know that you will never slip out of His fingers? How do you know that you'll always be in His hands? And she so wisely responded, because I am His hands. For we are Christ's body, and members in particular. And that's the comfort for your soul tonight. That Christ has purchased your soul, and because of your union with Him, you've been made members of His body.
Amen.
So that there's no part of His body that is not important to Him.
Amen.
The eyes, the hands, the feet, the toes, every single member in particular can never be severed from His body. And so, the weakest member, the one that you and I might think of as the most insignificant, or we might consider ourselves the most insignificant and feel ourselves to be the weakest part of the body of Christ, and yet, we're still a part of His body. I trust, I pray, this has comforted your soul tonight. That considering always being in God's hand helps you to consider that at any moment of any day, any trial, any affliction that you may find yourself in, you are never and you can never be out of His hand. And if there's someone here or watching online that may be asking the question, how do I know that I'm in His hand? This passage seems to refer to the elect, and it does, for Christ's sheep are His elect. But the question is not whether you are elect. The question is, are you looking to Christ? For the assurance that we are in God's hand is to trust in the finished work of Christ.
Amen.
For Christ says that His sheep hear His voice, and He knows them and they follow Me. So do you hear His voice tonight? Have you heard His voice before? Then look to Him. And when you look to Christ, and you trust in His work upon the cross for the salvation of His people, that is how you know. When you trust in that alone for the salvation of your soul, that is how you know that you are in God's hands and will forever be there. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee for the comfort it brings to our souls this evening. We pray that You would cause us to be comforted beyond this time and into this week, Lord, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And Lord, we pray then that You will cause these words to be written upon our hearts, that we would know ourselves to be in Thy hand. And Lord, that we will be reminded of this even for days to come.
Amen.
Lord, help us. We're thankful that You put us in the hands of an able Savior.
Amen.
That You put us in hands that could not fail and that will never fail. We're thankful, O Lord, tonight that we're kept by the power of God.
Amen.
O Lord, help us as we leave this place to go forth in that assurance. And Lord, again, we pray, if there be any person listening that is a stranger to Christ, O Lord, grant that they would look to Him. We'd be given grace to believe on Him to the saving of the soul. Hear us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.